because the subject is so big, I think that any little input and help I could get on it would be would be much appreciated. And that's a very fitting passage there. When it comes to dealing with negative thought patterns, I thought about this subject, and I certainly am not a psychologist. I don't have any letters behind my name that give me any credibility on understanding people and why they think the way they do. And the more I thought about it, you know, this subject for myself is quite interesting, because I don't consider myself an optimist. I don't consider myself, maybe I'm a pessimist. You know, maybe I do a decent job of covering that, but I really do think that I probably err on the negative side of things. And so this subject of negativity in my life is a bit personal, I guess you would say. You know, who am I, and what are my thoughts, and how does that affect my relationship with God, and how does it affect my relationship with other people? And as I looked into the scripture, the subject covers scripture from the beginning to the end. We have plenty of examples in scripture, men of God, women of God, who had negative thought patterns, who struggled with negative thought patterns. And you could take it back, I just name a few. Think of Moses, when God came to him and said, "I have a job for you." And he's like, "Oh, no, no." He said, not me, I can't do it. And he had all these negative things to say about his own self. And so, how serious of a topic do we have here tonight? How far do we take it? Are my negative thought patterns sin? I don't know how far to take it. Or is it just part of human nature? And so I decided I'm not, we'll talk about some of these things, but I think we do need to be careful with where we put this sometimes. And it can be sin if we let it go, but it's not always that. We are human beings, we are in the flesh. And I told my wife on the way here tonight, I suppose if none of us had any negative thought patterns, we'd be a bunch of boring people, probably. wouldn't have any personality. At least I don't think so. And so we need to be careful how far we take this. But let's think a little bit about why our thought patterns are important. What are our thought patterns, and why are they important? We have thoughts every day. We think things. And what we're talking about tonight here is a pattern in our thoughts, a consistency that we start to find ourselves thinking in day to day, month to month, year to year, and for years for some people, a pattern of thoughts. Why should we be concerned about this pattern of thoughts? Well, the Bible makes it clear that our thoughts come from somewhere, and our thoughts come from our heart. And if our thoughts begin forming a pattern, something we can maybe chart out almost, this is how I think, then we need to ask ourselves, what is going on inside of me? What's the pattern inside of me that brings this out? In Matthew 12, a few verses there, you can turn there if you wish, Matthew 12, there's a few verses there that are found in the other Gospels as well, and I chose this one. Matthew 12, verse 33. And Jesus is talking here, and he says, we're breaking right in the middle of this. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We're not talking about words tonight, or maybe we are. Do you think words? What's going on in your mind? You could easily reword this and say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mind thinketh. Where do our thoughts come from? A while back, I had a topic down at Winchester, I believe, bringing into captivity every thought. And the idea of our thoughts and where they come from is important. And so going back to this thing of a pattern, if our thoughts are trending a certain way, we need to look at our heart. Another reason why our thought patterns are important is because our thought patterns lead to behavior patterns. And I think it's inevitable the two are linked together. How we operate in life, how we go from day to day, our relationships, they stem from a thought pattern that we have. We don't even think about it as such. We live that way and we go through life. But our thought patterns reveal who we are at the core. And they lead to behavior patterns. If the tree is good, the fruit is good. If the tree is corrupt, the fruit is corrupt. Good treasure equals good things. Evil treasure equals evil things. And so Jesus set up this equation. He says, if it's this, then it will be this. And that is talking about the heart. And the Bible says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the core of it. And so thinking and acting are tied together. And the Bible has plenty to say about both, especially how we act. And in considering this thing of dealing with negative thought patterns, isn't it so true that our thought patterns become our identity? It's who we are. You know, those of us who have businesses, you have customers, and you have the grumpy ones, you have the happy-go-lucky ones, you have the ones who are on the sunny side of life every day, and you know them. That's their identity. That's who they are. And so if we have negative thought patterns, we're creating an identity for ourselves. People know us by that. And that identity can be problematic. Our thought patterns can affect us, and they affect the relationships of those around us. And we're thinking about negative thought patterns here tonight. But before I get into all the negative thought patterns, there are positive thought patterns that we can think about. And I don't have enough time to go into all of that. There's a lot in the scripture about that. But there are positive thought patterns we can have as well. But we're thinking about negative thought patterns. We don't like to be around negative people, do we? Even myself, as a pessimist, I'll say, I don't like being around negative people, even though I might be one myself. You know why? Because two negative people drive themselves in a hole it's hard to get out of. And I was fortunate enough to marry an optimistic wife. And so that works pretty well in our relationship. I think we balance each other out. And so negativity affects our friends around us, our family, our church, our coworkers. And it can become a serious thing, even in the church, negativity, these thought patterns that we're talking about. And when I thought about it, I thought, this is a really good subject we need to talk about, because sometimes we don't even know ourselves in our own life, what's going on? What's wrong with my thought patterns? Why can't I think a different way? And sometimes we have to just look at the subject and kind of pull it apart. Now, when Vernon originally called me, I marked the title for the sermon down different than what it actually was. I wrote down that I was to preach on dealing with negative attitudes. And I don't know why I wrote it that way, but that's what I wrote down. And as I thought about this, what's the difference? A thought pattern, an attitude. What's the difference here? Does my attitude make a difference in my thought patterns? I would suggest to you that it does. My attitude makes a difference. Winston Churchill said this. He said, attitude's a little thing that makes a big difference. And that little thing called an attitude makes a big difference in the way I think. And so, I don't know, maybe you could separate them, maybe you can group them together, but attitudes and thought patterns go together. And the dictionary says an attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. But I changed that definition a little bit to kind of fit what I define it as. I believe an attitude is a belief or a set of convictions that filters my perception of and my reaction to the world around me. In other words, our attitudes are like a stained glass window. Or maybe if you were like a child, as a child, you played with this thing called a kaleidoscope. Okay? That's like an attitude. The light coming in is filtered through my attitude, and I perceive things a certain way. And guess what? The things coming out of me are filtered through that exact same lens again. And we can't help it. We all have attitudes here about certain things. Whether it's the right attitude, whether it's the wrong attitude. We have attitudes. We have beliefs about certain things. And that's why tonight, if you go up to any two of us and you ask us the same question, you'll get two different answers. Why? Because we filter and we perceive the world through different lenses, different colors, you could say. Well, what does that have to do with thought patterns? Well, I think it has a lot to do with our thought patterns. It has a lot to do with how we think about the world, how we think about our brothers and sisters in the church. And so I started exploring this word attitude a little bit because I thought that's what the sermon was about until a couple days ago. How do we develop these negative attitudes that we have? If negative attitudes affect our negative thought patterns, how do we get to that point? And it's a really personal study to make of your own life. How do I arrive at the attitudes that I have? And I have here for point number one, personal experience. We arrive at the attitudes we have because of personal experience. I don't know of anything that shapes your beliefs and attitudes more than your experience with life. Life has a way of molding your attitudes, and it could be anything from simple things to really deep spiritual battles that you have to fight with. And, you know, just as a simple illustration, maybe you have an attitude about what kind of vehicles are the best to drive. And that attitude is based on vehicles you've owned previously, right? I've owned Chevy, I've owned Dodge. I didn't care for either one, so now I drive Toyota. That's my attitude about it. That's what I believe. So I look at the world differently. When I go drive past a car lot of Chevy Silverados, doesn't matter to me. That's how I look at the world differently. That's a simple thing. But then the deeper things in life, the traumatic experiences, I call them traumatic, maybe that's too strong a word, but the deep things in life that touch us, affect us forever after that, they also form attitudes. You know, the struggles in life are real. Relationships crumble. Things are broken down. And what I've learned in my short lifetime is that if we look at life wrongly, it can turn us into bitter people. It really can. Keep in mind negative thought patterns. Where are we going with this? Life can turn us into bitter people. We can live life with a negative attitude. We don't trust people. We become a skeptic in life. And too many times in my own life, I've been that way. I didn't trust people. I was skeptical of people. That's an attitude that we can have about life. We can become skeptics of life and suspicious of other people's motives, not putting our trust where we need to put it. Another way we gain negative attitudes, how they're developed, is by influence or association. You know, the people closest to us affect the way we think. They affect our attitudes and our beliefs. Our friends, our school teachers, our parents. And I would like to especially think about the parents here tonight. You have children, and your attitudes, well, you start looking in the mirror, right? Your child says something, it's like, oh, well, that looks like me. Said the same thing I said just a day ago. You know, our parents have a tremendous influence on our attitudes, wrongly or rightly. Good attitudes, bad attitudes. You know, I suppose if I like Toyota trucks and I have a son someday, he probably will like them too. You know, it's an attitude that we have. Maybe on a serious note, maybe you have attitudes about authority. Authority in the church. Well, you don't quite trust that guy behind the pulpit because, well, your parents never did. You know, there's just that suspicion you have. Maybe you're suspicious of authority in general. Maybe you're suspicious of, you know, the school and the authority there and the attitude you have there. Your children start to pick up on that. And guess what happens to your thought patterns? Negative thought patterns about things. The everyday things of life are filtered through that attitude, and we start thinking negatively about them. So we need to be careful as parents about our attitudes, because our children pick right up on it. They really do. And if we have a positive attitude about life, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful influence. If we have a positive attitude, but many times we can be involved in a negative attitude as well. And our negative attitudes spill over into our thought patterns on an everyday basis. If I have a negative attitude, and I just have a little illustration, if you have a negative attitude about school, let's just say you have a negative attitude about school, your child comes home from school and spills it out, you know, he has a problem with either another student or a teacher, you know, now what's your response going to be? If my attitude is that I don't really care for that teacher, I don't really care for the school board, I don't care for who they are, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to blame the teacher. I'm going to always blame somebody. That's going to be my thought pattern. And our child knows that thought pattern. I'm always blaming somebody else for my children's issues. And that's just an example. There's many, many, many other issues associated with negative thought patterns. And we're going to take a look at some negative thought patterns tonight. And like I said, I don't have a PhD in psychology, but I did do some reading. And I thought it was very interesting what psychologists over the years have determined are the general negative thought patterns in humanity. And I'm not a counselor here tonight, and I say God bless the counselor who can sit down with people who are caught up in these negative thought patterns and overcome that. Because I'm telling you, I think if I sit down in a counseling session, I'm going to be the one needing counseling when I'm done. that's my personality. You know, that's what it is. But God bless those who can do that. We do have good counselors among us who can help people out of these negative thought patterns. And when I looked at these, I said, well, that's me. You know, I have some of these. My wife actually even agreed with me. So I guess I got some work to do. But anyway, negative thought patterns that we struggle with. What are some of them that we struggle with? And oftentimes, the best children's books point out the deepest philosophical problems of humanity. And I love children's books for that. A good children's book points out a principle or an idea that is universal to humanity and just simplifies a complex problem. And when I thought about this, this dealing with negative attitudes, I thought of a particular donkey. A gloomy donkey. A gloomy donkey with a pinned-on tail called Eeyore. And I don't think that author could have done a better job personifying we as human beings, especially if you're a pessimist or you're down in the dumps every day. Negative attitudes in life. And I thought of Eeyore. We'll think about some of his comments later on here. And I'm a simple man with a simple mind, and some of those things just help me out when I'm looking at a subject like this. Yes, when you read that, yes, that's what I was feeling like. That's who I am. And so we don't want to be gloomy. We don't want to be negative, have negative attitudes all the time. Well, what are some of these negative attitudes we can have here? You'll notice I'm not going to be turning to a lot of scripture tonight. And the reason why is it's a broad subject. And like I said earlier, men of God in Scripture have struggled with these negative attitudes, and I found it hard to pin down where I should go to talk about it. I mean, think about David in Psalms. I mean, he was up one day, he was down the next day, he was up one day, he was down the next day, and he struggled with negative attitudes. And Jesus' disciples, we just read about one, Thomas, you know, negative attitudes. He wasn't the only disciple that had negative attitudes that needed changed. Negative thought patterns. So we'll give a few examples here of people like that in Scripture, but take heart tonight. We're in this together. If you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm the only one that has a negative attitude and I have a struggle with it, I don't think that's true. I think this problem is common to humanity and it's something we need to investigate in our own life. Maybe not all of these negative attitudes will apply to us. All right, I think I have about 7 of them here. Generally speaking, there's about 10 of them overall that psychologists would agree on is common to humanity, but I don't have time to go over them all. And there's big words here that are involved, and so I'm going to simplify them, maybe with an Eeyore quote, I'm not sure. Big words here. The first negative attitude we can have are negative thought patterns. I keep saying negative attitudes. I got that in my mind for a couple months here thinking about that. Negative thought patterns. And the first one I have here is overgeneralizing things. So circumstances and people, and it's making broad assumptions about life. And we know this. It's hard for me to explain sometimes, but because something bad happened once in our life, we assume that it will happen all the time. And we say it jokingly a lot of times, well, it's just my luck. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me, you know? And we make a joke out of it. But that's kind of a negative attitude to have about life. You know, we live with this expectation that something bad will happen to us. Things will always go wrong. Life is always against us. Have you ever met somebody like that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Life is always against them. Something bad's always going to happen to them. Maybe you're not like that, but I have this saying I say to my wife sometimes when I come home from work and she asks how the day went, and you know, I'm a pessimist. I say, on any given day, it could have gone better. You know, that's a terrible pessimistic attitude to have, and it's kind of a joke now that I say that, but what do we think about overgeneralizing life in general? Well, since something bad happened to me, then it will always happen to us. Let's get a little deeper into this. How about stereotyping people? Now we're talking about relationships with each other. Generalizing families and maybe church groups and maybe cultures, because we oversimplify. We say, well, he's from such and such family. Well, he's got to be like this, you know. It's a thought pattern that we have, a negative thought pattern about somebody. And the Bible speaks to this a good bit. Jesus' disciples had this very problem about this group of people called the Samaritans. They put them all in one box. If there's a Samaritan, he can't be a good one. No, it's a negative attitude about Samaritans. And I think it's very interesting that Jesus specifically used a Samaritan as the good, honorable person in that story of who is my neighbor. Why did he do that? Because he knew that the Jews had generalized them as a bad people. They thought negatively of the Samaritans. There was no good Samaritan in their eyes. And of course, if you think about Jesus' own life, the Jews said that about him. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They even said that about Nicodemus. Well, is he from Nazareth too? You know, that place, you know. Overgeneralizing life, you know, and people. And we do that and we judge wrongly a lot of times. And the Bible says we're not to be a respecter of persons in that. And so let's be careful. In our brotherhoods, in our families, how we speak of other people, are we generalizing and putting people in groups and just oversimplifying? And we have a negative attitude toward the whole group. And that's one negative attitude we can have. The next one I have here is called personalization. And this is a little bit different of a thought to me. And this is where we take everything personally. We blame ourselves for the problems we face. And I suppose this could lead a person in a very deep depression. It's a negative attitude about life in general and negative thought patterns we get into that I'm no good, you know. I'm of no self-worth. And if you think with me back to Elijah, when he had that mountaintop experience, and in the very next chapter, he was hightailing it out of the city and into the desert and under a juniper tree, and he told God, he said, take my life. Take my life. I'm no better than my fathers. Is that a negative thought pattern? This is a serious negative thought pattern. If we constantly lower our self-esteem and we constantly blame ourselves from circumstances, it's not a good place to be in life and leads people to commit suicide in today's world. It really does. There was no reason for Elijah to think this. He just had a mountaintop experience. He wasn't to blame, but he blamed himself. And I can't say I really struggled with this one a lot, but I know of some people who have. And I know it's very difficult to convince them otherwise. If you know somebody who blames themselves for life's problems, it is very difficult to convince them otherwise. Very difficult if they're really stuck in it. And they have a very depressing view of themselves and no self-esteem. And if you think back to Eeyore, the donkey, in that book, when he stood by the side of the stream and he looked at himself in the water, what did he say? He said, pathetic. And we laugh at that, but that's a serious problem we can have in our life, and no self-esteem, a negative thought patterns that we get into, that everything is my problem. He said, that's what it is, pathetic. And he walked down the stream for 20 yards and splashed across it, walked to the other side, and he looked at himself in the water again. He said, as I thought, no better from this side. And Yeah, that describes some of us. No better from this side. Taking things personally that really are not ours to take on personally. Personalization of life's problems in general can lead us into negative thought patterns that dig us in a hole that we can barely get out of. And I would venture to say we can't get out of them sometimes. It takes Jesus Christ, takes the power of Jesus to get us out of this hole. To turn somebody from a low self-esteem, maybe even suicidal, no self-worth. Jesus offers self-worth. Jesus places value on life, on human beings. And so if you find yourself in these negative thought patterns, look to Jesus for the answer. He can give you something worth living for. Moving on here is another negative thought pattern we can be involved in. It's called externalization. That's a big word. What it means is we blame everybody else for our problems. We first looked here at blaming ourselves for all of life's problems, but externalization is blaming everybody else for our problems. Do you know some people like that? There isn't one problem in their life that they can't pin on somebody else. I mean, they go through like, well, I'm this way because, well, my parents were this way. You know, or my lot in life is because way back 10 years ago, somebody ripped me off and here I am. I'm stuck, you know. Every problem I have in life is somebody else's problem. And the Bible is full of characters like this, starting right with Adam and Eve. How about Aaron when Moses was gone for that long? Well, wasn't my fault. I just threw this stuff in, and out comes the golden calf. You know, the people, you know, they did that. How about King Saul? You know, the lulling of those sheep, you know. Oh, it's everybody else's problem. The people did it. Yeah, I think it's a very popular thought pattern these days. And you talk to society in general, they have somebody to blame every problem on: the government, their wife, their children, their boss. They're negative about everything. That's their way their thoughts run. It's really a negative thought pattern. And really what it is, when it comes down to it, it's a victim mentality. I'm the victim in life. And I can't do anything about it because this is just where I am. And this kind of blame game keeps us from taking personal responsibility for our own mistakes. And worse even than that is it makes it impossible for us to forgive others. And if we have that attitude within the church, if we have this negative thought pattern within the church, our forgiveness is going to be a problem for you because you've just pinned your life's problems on somebody else. And God calls us to forgive. And of course, it's the wheel that keeps turning, you know. Negativity builds on negativity, and it keeps going and keeps going. I don't have time to read some scriptures on that, but think about the scripture there in Matthew 7 where Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." If I can see, you know, the beam or the mote that's in my brother's eye, I first of all need to get that beam out of my own eye before I can do anything about his. And so we need to think about that, this thing of blaming other people for our problems. Another thought pattern I have here is a big word. I never even knew it was a word. It's called catastrophizing. And what does that mean? Well, how many people here know about Chicken Little? What it means is imagining the worst, magnifying a situation, and predicting a hopeless future. And there's people in this world that live that way. All it takes is a nut falling on their head, and the sky is falling in. The end of the world is here. And I don't know a lot of people like this, but if you do know one or two, it's probably enough. And when you deal with them, they're almost irrational, to the point of no rationality. And it's a terrible thought pattern to be in, because they live life imagining the worst possibility in every situation. You can't present anything to them without them bringing up the worst point of view. It's a thought pattern. They're doomsday prophets, I call them. Doomsday prophets. And you know what happens to people that fall into this trap of imagining the worst? Is we paralyze ourselves with fear. And that is not what we're called to as Christian people. God does not call us to paralyzing ourselves with fear. With fear to the point that they can't accomplish anything. And maybe to bring this down in a little more practical sense, maybe think about our parenting. How are we as parents? Are we helicopter parents? We imagine the worst for our children all the time. You know, don't do this, you might fall and break your neck, or don't run down that hill, you'll trip and skin your face. Constantly, all day long, you're catastrophizing, you're imagining the worst. And I think it has a negative impact on our children, it really does. I think it leads them to think negatively about the world. Everything is somehow heightened in their mind. Doomsday prophets, paralyzing themselves with fear, imagining the worst, the Chicken Littles of the world. I like that story, the Chicken Littles. The nut falls on her head, and she proclaims the sky is falling in, and what does she do? She runs and tells the next person, the sky is falling in. Well, how do you know? What hit me on the head? You know, and it's irrational, but at the same time, we can find ourselves in that thought pattern. And that's not what we're called to. Another thought pattern here, I must move quickly because we want to talk about dealing with negative thought patterns. I'm just illustrating a few of them here. Another thought pattern we can get stuck in is inflexible thinking. And I think this hits home to me pretty well, inflexible thinking. You know, things have to be a certain way. That's our thought patterns. Something should be this way, or it must be that way, or it ought to be this way, it has to be this way. Life has to go my way. People have to conform to my expectations. We need leave no room for human failure or unexpected circumstances. And we live with this all or nothing concept in life. Have you ever met people like that? Well, if you haven't and you meet me tonight, you might. Sometimes I get that way in life. And this inflexible thinking also paralyzes us. We can't get anything done because, well, if it's not done right, we're not going to do it at all. You know, that's kind of the all or nothing concept we have in life. And it paralyzes progress in our life. It really does. It makes life almost impossible to live if we set up these thought patterns that things have to be a certain way. They just have to be. And if they're not that way, we're totally lost. We can't function. Maybe you don't have that trouble, but I think I can struggle with that myself a little bit. The last negative thought pattern I have here is discounting the positive. Discounting the positive. And I believe this is one that I can fall into myself as well. Discounting the positive is the persistent tendency of some depressed individuals to transform neutral or even positive experiences into negative ones. Are you like that? It's actually a skill to do this. If you know some people like this, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you get to work in the morning and it's a bright summer day, and you said, it's a nice sunny day out there. Oh, it's too hot. You know, it's way too hot. You know, turning the positive, the sunny side of life into the dark and gloomy side of life. And, you know, the next morning you might come to work and it's cloudy and it's cool, and you say, it's cooled down quite a bit out there. Yeah, but the rain's washing my driveway out. You see, with these people, you can't win with these people. You can't win with a thought pattern like this. It's constantly discounting the positive. And if you think back to me and the adventures of Pooh and Eeyore, you know, Eeyore lost his tail. They brought it back to him. Christopher Robin pins the tail back on him and he says, did I get your tail on properly, Eeyore? What does Eeyore say? He said, no matter, most likely to lose it again. Discounting the positive things in life in exchange, they turn it into something negative. And I think Eeyore probably fits this category more than any. And I get a kick out of reading them. Another one, he says, I shouldn't be surprised if it hailed a good deal tomorrow, Eeyore was saying. Blizzards and whatnot. Being fine today doesn't mean anything. Discounting the positive things in life. You know, and I think another one, he said, Pooh said good morning to him. He said, good morning, if it is a good morning. You know, some of those things, that personifies people so well sometimes. But the serious part of it is that when we discount the positive, there's a root there that we need to think about, and that's called ungratefulness, unthankfulness. And if we get involved in a thought pattern like that, we don't always think about that it's not being thankful, but it is being ungrateful in life. We're making a conscious decision to be ungrateful because someone presents us with something positive. God has blessed us with a nice day. And we make a decision to turn it into something negative. And these kind of people don't count their blessings. They really don't. It's a negative thought pattern you can get into that even the good things in life turn into bad things, I guess you would say. So we want to move on here looking at some ways we can help ourselves in this. And there are many ways, and I'm thankful that my brother read from that chapter. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. You know, there's some general principles from Scripture here that we need to think about when it comes to these negative thought patterns. When I think about these thought patterns that we just talked about, you know, there's some words that come to mind. Words like selfishness, words like ungrateful, doubting, judgmental, maybe depression. And these are serious problems. Like I said before, these thought patterns can lead to sin. They can be sin. And I don't want to make too much of that because I know we all struggle and we're in the flesh, but let's be careful that it doesn't get that far. What are the biblical solutions to negative thought patterns? And the first one I thought of, I think this was the first one I thought of when I was given the topic. Number one, believe in the goodness of God. My friends here tonight, if we cannot believe that God is a good God, we will be in every negative thought pattern you can think of. Life will be a misery to us. And I think one of the root causes of this negativity in our lives is we fail to see that goodness of God. And we fail to see the goodness of God in the circumstances of life. Not only that, we also fail to see God's goodness in the people around us. Because let's face it, our negative thought patterns usually have to do with one or the other, circumstances or people. And God is good in both of those. And we need to remember that. David himself said in Psalm 27, 13 to 14, he struggled with these thought patterns. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I'm telling you, when you speak to people with negative thought patterns, they don't see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. They see the negativity of circumstances in the land of depression. I don't know what you would call it. In the land of... Put your words in there. But David did say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so there's times that it is a struggle to see the goodness of God. I'm not here to say that it's not. But he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Do you believe that we serve a good God who loves us and cares for us and wants to bless us? If we live with an ungrateful, a doomsday attitude, a negative attitude, we don't understand that goodness of God. What we really say when we're living in that kind of a lifestyle is that God doesn't care. That's what we're really saying about God. We're saying that God doesn't care. God's not good. We may even blame God for our problems. And that's borderline blasphemy, blaming God for our problems. Because this world is full of problems, and they're not God's problems. The problems in this world are our problems, not God's. God is a good God. Like the verse in Jeremiah 29, 10 to 14, for thus saith the Lord, he's speaking to the children of Israel, and after they've done all these things that are evil, this is what God says to them. He says that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. He is telling a people here that have sinned, that walked away from him, that the thoughts he thinks toward them are good thoughts. And if you struggle tonight with the negative thought pattern of blaming yourself for problems, you're no good, God doesn't love me, whatever you put in that blank there, know this, that the thoughts that God thinks toward you are good thoughts. He's a good God. And even in the physical sense, he showers us with natural blessings and spiritual blessings, and every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What I'm saying is we need to be thankful people. And this week, if we go out and we have some of those negative thought patterns, I'm sure I will. I'll be tempted with some of these negative thought patterns of we need to repent of our ingratitude. We need to bask in the goodness of God. We need to live by faith and not in negativity. The second solution here to negative thought patterns is trust in the sovereignty of God. You know, one of the things I didn't mention here was that with these negative thought patterns, of generalizing life in, you know, in a negative sense, or personalizing it, or blaming other people for problems. You know, one of the things that we're trying to do here is we're trying to control the narrative in life, in blaming others, blaming myself, being inflexible in my thinking patterns. We're trying to control the narrative. It leads to anxiety. It leads to worry. That's what it leads to. And it's I've been there. It's stressful. You can't sleep at night because of these thought patterns. The only way I see out of it is to trust in a sovereign God. In other words, God has life in control, not me. And I think when we fall in these negative thought patterns, we fail to realize that He's in total control. He's on the throne. God knows the circumstances we're in. And He is the only one that can do something about it sometimes. He's the only one. Think about this verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Do we believe that tonight? Do we believe that in our, if we're living in negativity and our thought patterns are negative, do we really believe that? No, we don't. We believe that all things work together for bad. Yeah, that's what we believe when we're in that negative thought pattern. And I take this personally tonight in my own life. I can get so stuck in that. We live in such a blessed nation. You know, here I'm going back to the thankfulness, but we still can get stuck in this negative train of thought. But God says all things work together for good to them who are called according to His purpose. And another verse in Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And so we put our trust in a sovereign God who knows the future instead of worrying about the present. We trust in the purposes of God. Why? Because we already said that God purposes to do good things to us. That's His plan. He thinks thoughts of peace. And sometimes it's just a matter of trust and faith on our part. We believe the promises of God by faith. The third and last point I have here as solutions to negative thought patterns is that we need to realign our attitudes with scriptural truth. If I have a bad attitude in life about somebody else or about the world in general, that set of beliefs, that stained glass window needs to be changed. Thinking about the kaleidoscope, you turn the kaleidoscope. You got to change the attitude. And until we change the attitude, I don't think we're going to get out of our negative thought patterns about people and about reality in general. And a common problem with these negative thought patterns is that very fact that it disconnects us from reality. We get stuck in a thought pattern that is not even real. It's not even true. Our attitudes and thought patterns must be aligned with the truth, or we'll have a distorted perspective of the world. I never knew this before, but I didn't realize that in airplanes, they have something called an attitude indicator. I don't know if anybody here is a pilot or not. I thought this was interesting. I thought at first, is that altitude indicator? No, it's an attitude indicator. And it's a little gauge in the cockpit of an airplane that as the airplane approaches the runway, it tells them the orientation they are in regards to the horizon. In other words, if their plane is angled like this, the attitude indicator tells them to get it back so that they can land. And I thought, how well does that fit with what we're talking about? We need an attitude indicator. What's our attitude indicator? It's this book right here. If we want to interpret reality around us correctly, this is the book that we have to look at. It's our attitude indicator. Otherwise, we're going to crash. We will. We will crash. Well, how do we realign that attitude? We need prayer. You know, if we have trouble with negative thought patterns tonight, prayer is a source of our help. And it's a source in my life. Why? Because it turns my attention away from myself. I really think that's a lot of problems with our negative attitudes. It's our self that's the attention. When we pray to God, it turns our attention away to the source of help. And I like the Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, if we internalize that psalm, how can we have a negative attitude or a negative thought pattern in life? The Lord will preserve. The Lord will take care of us. He's our shade. The sun shall not smite thee. And I love that psalm, but we need to pray to God to help us through these negative attitudes. It refocuses us. Another way to realign our attitude is read the scripture. And I think this single verse in scripture could be our attitude indicator. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you want to look in scripture and you want an indicator of where your heart is, think about that. The word of God is quick and powerful. The Bible becomes a mirror that we look into, and the reflection we see back evaluates our lives, indicates where we're at in life. It realigns our focus, realigns our attitude with scriptural truth. You know, I like reading the Psalms because I sympathize with David, or I know what that feels like sometimes to go through the ups and downs of life. And you know, we check out scripture and we see the conclusions he came to many times, and we realize that, what did he say? He said, well, my feet would have slipped unless I would have gone in the sanctuary and I would have focused on God. And if we're stuck in negative thought patterns tonight, our feet will slip until we refocus and get back to looking at God, who's in control and who cares for us. The third point here in realigning our attitudes with scriptural truth is we need our brothers and sisters in the church. We really do. I mentioned the fact that I married a wife who's probably more positive than I am. And I would advise for you tonight, maybe there's some who are dating or maybe thinking about it. If you're negative, maybe you ought to find a positive to level you out. I think it just happens naturally. I really do. I think it does. And it's a blessing to us, but we need our brothers and sisters to balance us out. Pessimists and optimists, we balance each other out. And I think sometimes with our negative thought patterns and attitudes about other people, we miss that blessing in our life. We miss that balancing that happens in our life when we associate with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, all of us struggle with different things. We all have our low points, our high points. And that's where the brotherhood comes in, and it levels it out. You know, if we have a brethren's meeting, I mean, I could come into a brethren's meeting thinking one way about something and one way only. And, you know, till you get done the brethren's meeting, you realize I'm not the only pebble on the beach. Somebody else has something else to say about this. And it levels us out. Maybe I had too negative an attitude about something. Maybe I had too optimistic an attitude about something. But we need our brothers and sisters in the Lord to help us with these negative thought patterns. And so others can see our problems better than we can. It's something to think about in life. So I think when we come back full circle here, what's in the heart matters. And what's in the heart comes out in our negative thought patterns. And thinking about this, that this idea of a pattern again, you know, how do I evaluate that there is a pattern? Well, think about your conversations with people. Think about how you respond to life. Is it a pattern? Is it forming a pattern? Where does that come from? Comes out of my heart. Jesus made that abundantly clear. And so I trust tonight that you've gained something by these thoughts. And I realize, you know, I thought about it, wasn't it? I was sitting here and thinking about it. You know, it's quite the topic to give a pessimist, I guess you would say. And I've struggled with negative thought patterns, and sometimes it's easy to cover them up, or we try to cover them up. But those who know us best know us, you know, they know the truth. And so let's think about that. Let's be grateful to God. Let's trust in his sovereignty. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. God is good. That's what our brother said. The first thing he got up, God is good. And if we believe that God is good, it will go a long ways in our thought patterns. Let's kneel for prayer.